Retry logic solves the tool call. Loop engineering solves everything above it. Most teams have the first. Almost no one has the second. And that gap is exactly what production exposes.
Picture this. It's Monday morning. You log in, grab your coffee, check the Plaid dashboard, and you just see it. A single agent run with a bill for $2,300.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for one run. And the absolute kicker. The status indicator is still blinking. It says running.
Okay, let's unpack this immediately. Because if you're a tech lead or an architect listening to this and you've already shipped agentic AI, you might be scoffing right now. You're probably thinking, well, we have exponential backoffs.
Right.
We have firm timeouts on our APIs. If an agent hammers a service, the infrastructure cuts it off, we're covered. So I have to push back here. What actually went wrong to rack up a $2,000 bill?
What went wrong is, it's the invisible gap in almost every enterprise AI stack right now.
Mm.
You're completely right about the backoffs and timeouts. We've engineered the individual tool calls beautifully.
Yeah, the micro level is solid.
Exactly. If the agent calls an API and it's down, your retry logic catches it. It waits. It fails gracefully. That part is mature. But you haven't engineered the loop that strings all those tool calls together.
Which is exactly the core of this deep dive. We are extracting the architecture today from issue number 16 of Signal Over Noise by Srini Karlekar, and we're focusing entirely on loop engineering.
It's a huge blind spot.
It is. And look, let's set the tone right now. It's Friday afternoon. We are doing a debrief. We are not here to spiral into some doom and gloom, runaway AI panic. You've built great systems. But this is a massive, totally fascinating engineering challenge that you hit when you move from a Jupyter notebook into a hostile production environment.
And it is completely solvable.
Completely.
But to solve it, we really need to shift how we think about boundaries.
Mm.
The source uses this electrical engineering concept that I just love, the circuit breaker.
Great, the house wiring analogy.
Yeah. Every circuit in your house has a breaker that cuts power when the current gets too high. It doesn't trip because the electricity is suddenly malicious, right?
Yeah.
The electrons are just doing their thing. It trips because the system must have a physical boundary.
Wires melt without boundaries.
Exactly. An agent without loop engineering is just a house wired without circuit breakers. The current will flow until it hits a physical limit, which in the cloud is basically your wallet.
I love that because the current isn't malicious. Standard retry logic, the three attempts, the 503 error handling, that's just the micro level. But the problem lives one level up.
It lives in the iterative cycle. Anthropic's own engineering guidance defines agents as just LLMs, using tools based on environmental feedback in a loop.
Observe, reason, act, observe.
Right. But that loop has no built-in ceiling. It's running on framework defaults.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to ask, what is the core directive baked into the weights of these models during reinforcement learning?
It's helpfulness.
Helpfulness. Which sounds great until you realize a model optimized for helpfulness will just keep going until it thinks it's done. It has no intrinsic sense of a budget. It doesn't know what a dollar is.
Wait, let me play devil's advocate for a second. If the exit condition is undefined, why doesn't it just stop eventually? Doesn't the model reach a state where it says, okay, I'm out of options, I'm done?
Sometimes. But usually in a complex environment, it just finds new things to check. It's like, okay, imagine hiring a highly enthusiastic, incredibly literal intern.
Well, this is a great analogy.
You tell them, hey, find the typo in this paragraph.
Hmm.
They check it, find nothing. But they want to be helpful, so they don't stop. They start checking the entire document.
Because the goal is find the typo, so they assume they missed it.
Right. Then they cross-reference it with the company handbook. Then they decide the handbook is outdated, so they start drafting a new handbook. They never stop because you didn't say, look for 5 minutes, then put your pencil down.
And tying that back to the actual code, what's happening in the LLM's architecture when the intern moves to the handbook?
It's the context window and the attention mechanism. The original prompt is just a few tokens. But as it uses tools, it appends those results into its context. The window fills up with the handbook.
So the attention heads literally start paying more mathematical attention to the retrieved context than the original prompt.
Exactly. The original constraint is drowned out. So the agent loops 90 times on a task that should take 6. And the terrifying part, going back to that $2,000 dashboard, nothing is technically failing.
Yeah, that is the infrastructure nightmare. The logs are pristine. It's just a wall of 200 OKs. The tools work. The database is responding, but the loop has no ceiling. So Datadog shows zero errors.
And production will always supply an exit condition. Always.
Usually AWS killing your cluster or your credit card declining.
Right. So loop engineering is building that exit condition before shipping. But to build it, you have to know what kind of current you're running. The source lays out 6 loop archetypes.
Let's get into these, because archetype number 1 is basically the foundation of everything right now, the react loop. Observe, think, act, observe.
Yeah, from the Yao paper in 2022, it forces the model to generate reasoning traces interleaved with actions. It's powerful, but it has no natural termination.
The example here is the DevOps triage agent. I think anyone on call has lived this. Ticket comes in, blank dashboard for Acme Corp. The agent spins up, checks the error logs, nothing.
Totally reasonable first step.
Right. Then it checks feature flags, CDN caches, billings, synthetic tests. It's basically doing what a thorough tier 2 engineer would do.
But a human engineer eventually gets tired or realizes it's a dead end. The agent doesn't get tired. It just tries different permutations. 19 tool calls later, 4 minutes of wall clock time, it finally escalates.
And the human looks at it and realizes the customer just turned on an ad blocker.
Yep. The infrastructure was fine. The React loop just didn't have a ceiling to stop it from checking the entire back end over and over.
So what's the fix here? Just cap the tool calls at 5. That feels super brittle. What if the fix is on call number 6?
Capping raw tool calls is too blunt. The architectural fix is limiting by category. You program the orchestrator to say, if 3 distinct categories, say infrastructure, network, and auth, are completely clean, halt, and escalate.
Oh, that's smart. You bound the hypothesis space, not just the raw tool count.
Exactly. Drop the probability that it's a back-end issue and hand it to a human.
Let's pivot to archetype 2. This one has a totally different risk profile. The HITL loop human in the loop.
Right. The agent pauses at a checkpoint and waits for human approval. The challenge here is state management. Because if you just leave a Python script sleeping while waiting for a webhook and the pod restarts,
you lose everything. The agent wakes up with amnesia.
Precisely. You have to serialize the state to a durable database, kill the process, and rehydrate it when the human approves.
The mortgage processing example in the text gave me chills. It's a 12-step workflow. The team puts a checkpoint at step 2, initial data approval, and step 11, final approval.
Seems perfectly safe on a whiteboard.
Right. Guard the entrance, guard the exit, but they completely miss the middle. Steps 4 through 9 involve the agent independently pulling credit data, ordering property appraisals, and generating disclosures.
And every single one of those actions has a hard external cost or triggers a regulatory clock under laws like TeleRESPA.
Yes. So by the time the loan officer sees step 11, the agent has burned $340 in API fees and started a federal disclosure clock the human didn't even know about.
The model did exactly what the pipeline allowed it to do. It's a loop boundary failure. The fix is mapping every single external cost and regulatory trigger before you place checkpoints.
Put the human gate before the irreversible commitment.
Always. Reads are cheap. Writes and third-party API calls are dangerous.
Okay, archetype 3. Reflection. Generate, self-evaluate, reflect, revise. It's brilliant for coding.
It is, but the risk is philosophical. If the generator model and the evaluator model share the same model weights like, if they're the same LLM, they share the same blind spots.
Right, the code review agent example. It writes a security report, evaluates itself, gives it an 8, revises, gives it a 9. It converges on a 9.5 and exits, totally missing a fatal JWT validation flaw.
Because of mode collapse. The generator learns exactly what the evaluator wants to hear. It's a yes man grading its own homework. It missed the flaw because its training data just didn't prioritize it.
So we fix this by just lowering the temperature, make it more deterministic.
No, temperature doesn't change the weights. The engineered fix is model diversity. If Claude generates it, have GPT-4o evaluate it. And crucially, cap the reflection cycles, say 3 tries. If it can't hit the score in 3 tries, it's stuck.
Just hard cap it. Love that. Okay, lightning round for the last 3. Archetype 4 is multi-agent coordination.
The inter-agent cascade. Extractor sends data to validator. Validator rejects the format. Extractor tries again, but the source PDF is ambiguous, so it fails again.
And they just bounce it back and forth forever. I've seen logs with 47 bounces, both billing tokens, 0 progress.
The fix is orchestrator-level caps. Don't give individual agents the retry budget. The orchestrator has to step in after 3 bounces and say, task blocked. Escalate.
The orchestrator holds the budget. Got it. Archetype 5. Memory consolidation. This is a background loop, right?
Yeah, for persistent agents. If you don't compress episodic memory, your context window fills up, and suddenly a simple question costs 18 cents in tokens.
But the risk is state corruption if it runs at the wrong time.
Right. If the background loop compresses memory while the user is actively asking a complex question in the foreground, it pulls a rug out from under the active agent.
So you run it during idle windows. And use staging stores.
Exactly. Read, summarize to a staging database, verify, and then do an atomic swap. Never touch the live memory directly.
Atomic swaps for agent memory. That's rigorous. And the final archetype, number 6, the meta loop.
This is MLOs for agents. It runs between deployments over days or weeks. It takes production traces, runs evils, and catches subtle drift.
Like the customer support bot that slowly gets too casual over 3 weeks. No single message is a disaster, so users don't flag it. But the brand voice is totally gone.
And you can't unit test tone with a regex. You need a meta loop running an LLM as a judge on a 2% daily sample. If tone drifts by 5 points, it fires a P2 alert.
You catch it in days, not the 6 weeks it takes for a quarterly review.
Exactly. And the real complexity is that enterprise systems nest these loops.
Oh, yeah. A React loop inside an extractor agent, inside a multi-agent orchestrator. If you don't bound every single layer, the token expenditure compounds.
Which brings us to the real stakes. Getting the archetype wrong multiplies costs and operational danger.
Let's talk about the invisible failure. This is the dramatic core of the whole subject. The metrics are green, latency is fine, 200 OKs across the board. The dashboard says everything is healthy, but the agent is quietly burning cash and producing garbage.
Traditional observability just tells you the plumbing is working. It doesn't tell you if the water is toxic.
So how bad is the math? If I leave a loop unengineered, am I looking at a 10% bump in my cloud bill?
Anthropic's own research found that multi-agent pipelines with uncontrolled loops consume roughly 15 times more tokens than single-turn prompts for the same task.
Wait, 15 times, not 15%.
15x. And that's the median overhead, not the worst-case scenario.
A CFO will kill a project over a 15x overrun. But what about safety? What happens when a looping agent actually takes actions?
This is where the math gets genuinely sobering. Say you audit a tool, and there's a 1% chance of a side effect like hallucinating a BCC address.
That's usually acceptable risk. 99% accuracy is good.
It is, for a single turn. But if that agent runs a 50-iteration loop and has a 1% chance of failure per iteration, you have a 39% chance of at least one unintended side effect across that run.
Wait, let me just process that. A 39% chance of failure from a 1% baseline.
Yes. 0.99 to the 50th power is roughly 61%. So there's a 39% chance your agent breaks something.
That completely reframes everything. You can't evaluate safety by looking at a single tool call in isolation.
You absolutely cannot. The loop multiplies the risk exponentially. But teams just audit the tool and ignore the loop.
Okay, but as promised, no doom spiraling. The problem is math, so the fix is math.
And the fix is immediate. The loop is only a black box if you lack per iteration observability. Mm-hmm. The second you implement tracing, you see it as a discrete series. Iteration 1, iteration 2, iteration 3.
Right. A failure in iteration 7 might have started as a hallucination in iteration 2. Tracing is the light switch.
Once you turn it on, these loops aren't scary autonomous entities. They have highly predictable failure modes.
Let's break those down. The source gives 5 failure modes. Number 1, the infinite loop.
The most brutal one, no exit condition defined. The developer just wrote a while true loop. It runs until it hits an infrastructure timeout. The signal is a massive vertical cost spike.
The fix is just defining a hard budget up front. Never use an unbounded loop.
Exactly.
Failure mode 2, convergence drift. This one's subtler.
It's iterating, calling tools. The output changes slightly every time, but it's making zero measurable progress toward the goal.
Like a Roomba hitting the same 3 chair legs from different angles.
Yes. They defined what completion looks like, but not how to measure progress. Your total iterations climb, but semantic distance to the goal plateaus.
So you track state changes. If it doesn't extract a new entity in 3 iterations, declare drift and halt.
Spot on.
Failure mode 3 is my favorite because I live this personally. Scope creep.
How so? What's the real world equivalent?
Okay, weekend plumbing project. I decide to fix a leaky faucet. That's the seldom prompt. I take the handle off, realize the cartridge is old, go to the hardware store. Well, there I see a new vanity on sale. I buy it. To install it, I have to rip up the floor tile. By Sunday night, my water is off, I have no floor, and I'm watching YouTube on how to sweat copper pipes. My scope crept because I wanted to be helpful to the bathroom, but I completely lost the faucet.
That is terrifyingly accurate for how an LLM operates. It optimizes for helpfulness over constraint. The original prompt is verify document A. It notices document A references B and C.
Which load into the context window.
Right. So the agent decides to draft a strategic remediation plan for all 3. The prompt was 3 tokens. The new scope is 500 tokens. Its attention mechanism literally shifts to the massive new scope.
It bought the vanity.
It bought the vanity and ripped up the floor. The log shows it calling tools way outside the initial scope.
So you declare strict boundaries in the orchestrator, not just the prompt, but the tool routing layer. Block unauthorized tools.
Exactly.
Your mode four, the echo chamber.
We touched on this with reflection. High confidence masking an error because the generator and evaluator share blind spots. The signal is a human catching an obvious error. The loop rated 9.5.
Fix is adversarial judges and diverse models.
Yes.
And five, the cascade loop.
Happens in multi-agent setups. One agent's failure triggers exponential retries across all downstream agents. The fix is moving the retry budget up to the central orchestrator.
Okay, we've named the demons, now the exorcism. The six engineering principles. How do we build the circuit breaker?
Principle one, declare before you loop. Exit conditions, budget, scope. Define it all before iteration one.
If you can't explicitly name the three exit conditions, goal completion, budget exhaustion, and irrecoverable state, you don't have a breaker. You're waiting for a fire. But how do you budget when you don't know the reasoning steps?
You budget for the worst case acceptable scenario. If the answer is worth 50 cents to the business, set the limit to 50 cents. Halt and escalate if it hits it.
Makes sense. Principle two, trace every iteration. The light switch.
Open telemetry. Structured logs for every step. Cumulative tokens, actions, state assessment.
Principle three, measure progress, not just completion.
If the score is flat for three iterations, halt. Don't burn tokens hoping for a miracle.
Principle four, guard irreversible actions. Reads are cheap, writes are dangerous.
Budget checks are human gates in front of every external side effect. Make tools idempotent.
Principle five, checkpoint for resumability.
Event sourcing. If it fails on step seven, resume from step seven. Don't restart from scratch and reincur the costs.
And principle six, test exit paths. This trips everyone up.
A boundary untested in staging won't save you in production. You have to intentionally exhaust the budget in tests to make sure it fails gracefully.
An untested exit condition is just a wish. Now, inside these principles, there's a huge distinction. Verifiable versus self-assessed exit conditions.
This is the most important philosophy here. A verifiable exit is objective. The document is in the Postgres database and a UID is returned. The code confirms it.
It's binary.
Right. A self-assessed exit relies on the LLM's judgment. The agent says, I reviewed this and I'm satisfied.
And why is that dangerous? We trust it to reason.
Because its judgment is optimized for helpfulness. If an LLM is uncertain, its default isn't to exit. It's to say, I'm not completely satisfied, let me keep searching.
The intern with the handbook again.
Yes. Or in an echo chamber, it confidently self-assesses broken code as perfect. You must use code asserts, not prompt asserts, whenever possible.
So with all this rigor, nested loops, serialization, verifiability, a tech lead might ask, should we just not use loops everywhere?
You have to fight the default bias. LangGraph, CrewAI, AutoGen, they make looping the path of least resistance. It's just drawing an edge in a graph.
Abstractions hide costs.
Exactly. Use loops deliberately. Use React when intermediate states are truly uncertain. Use HITL for high stakes decisions. Use reflection for code generation where the first pass is usually wrong.
But when is it an anti-pattern?
Real-time UX,
yeah.
Anything needing a sub-2-second response, and simple deterministic lookups. Don't spin up an agent to query an account balance. Just use an API.
Keep it simple. So why is 2026 the forcing function for all of this?
Because the environment changed. In 2024, looping was bespoke Python code. You watched it like a hawk. Now SDKs from OpenAI, AWS, Google, they ship with looping as the default.
People are copy-pasting tutorials and deploying infinite loops.
And it's eating 15 to 20% of enterprise AI spend, CFOs are noticing. Unengineered loops are a budget crisis. But the tooling is finally mature.
That's the good news. We don't have to build state managers from scratch.
Right. We have LangGraph for checkpointing, Temporal for durable workflows, so agents survive pod crashes, Agent Hops for tracing, E2B for sandboxed execution.
You just wire them together, no excuses anymore?
None. The teams that adopt this will scale securely. The ones that don't will spend the next 6 months in grueling incident retrospectives.
So let's close this out with the weekly action item. You can literally do this Monday morning.
Three steps for your highest volume agent. Step one, write down the three exit conditions. Can you point to the budget limit code? If it relies on self-assessment, you aren't ready.
Step two, open your observability platform. Can you see per iteration breakdowns? If it's just one block of compute, you have no visibility.
Step three, review the toolset. Is every irreversible action guarded by a human gate or strict budget check?
If you can't answer yes to all three, you have hope. not an engineered loop, and hope doesn't pay the AWS bill.
Which sure doesn't.
Before we sign off, a final provocative thought. We've talked about containing your own agents' loops.
Your own circuit breakers.
Right. But what happens in a few months when your beautifully bounded agent has to negotiate with a vendor's totally unbounded infinite looping agent?
Oh, man.
If their React loop starts hammering your agent with 50 variations of the same query, how do you handle it? How do you engineer a breaker for someone else's runaway current? Think about that. Stay sharp, build those breakers, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.